This is Sharing Space, an initiative to end mental health stigma. Here, we start the conversation that leads to the bigger conversation that will one day end mental health discrimination. To reach this goal, each time we sit down with guests that share their mental health story, be it personal struggles, a story of advocacy, or the stories from the inside of the mental health industry. Sharing Space creates a safe and accepting environment for people to come and share their honest stories without judgment. To be a part of the initiative, all you need to do is listen to the various conversations. You can catch up on demand on burst.co.uk. Each story takes some notes about things that were interesting or relatable, and then share those things with another person. Take the conversation from here to the outside world, and we are one step closer to ending mental health discrimination. This time, we sit down with Burst team member Sarah as she shares her struggles from school and now. I'm Alison Blaze, and welcome to Sharing Space. Thank you for coming in today and sharing your story. Would you want to just start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
So my name is Sarah. I'm 23 and I'm a radio production student here at Bournemouth University. I'm originally from Ireland, so I've been living here for about 6 months now at this point. Really enjoying it. I've settled in pretty well. And I think I've kind of surprised myself with how well I've adjusted to being away from home. Because I've had quite a lot of anxiety issues throughout my life. So I'm pleased with how I've been dealing with those so far since I've been here.
How do you find the stresses of being a student?
Being a student is very stressful. I think I'm probably coping better with it now than I used to, but during my undergraduate, particularly in my final year, I did have a lot of issues with stress when I was like working on my thesis and stuff like that. I've always found time management, it kind of comes quite naturally to me, but I think the main things that have caused stress to me as a student have been tuition fees, things like that, career worries as well. I think also the social side of things, because it's not been as bad here as it has been back home, but in Ireland we have kind of, there's quite a large binge drinking culture, and I found that that was what a lot of people around me were kind of taking part in, and I've never been interested in that, so that was something that I used to worry about quite a lot. Would I kind of fit in and make friends in that kind of environment? And it was quite difficult at times, because you know, I've found that you would be like the only person in the student bar who wouldn't be drinking alcohol, and people used to ask a lot of questions about that, so that would kind of contribute to my stress levels as well, I think.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think there's two things in particular that you brought up that I think would be nice to touch on. You did mention before that not now, but previously, you had struggled with being away from home.
Yeah.
That was kind of a stressor for you. You acclimated into this environment a little bit easier than maybe in your undergrad. Mm. And do you feel that maybe that as well contributed to the social side of things? Because maybe you weren't 100% comfortable in your environment, therefore not as comfortable to just like open up and...
I think so, yeah. Because I did my undergraduate studies in Dublin, Basically, I was born in Dublin and I moved away when I was 12. So going back there wasn't... it was quite easy for me because I was already familiar with the city and I had family there and stuff like that. But when it came to actually settling into the university, definitely the social side was difficult. And that was something I worried about before I came here. I mean, I thought, you know, this is a master's now. I think hopefully things will be different. But I've never found it that easy to make friends quickly because it usually takes me quite a while to open up to people. And sometimes that can be misinterpreted as me being standoffish. But yeah, I was quite surprised. I remember the first time I actually went into the bar here with a group of people and I just got an orange juice, and I think most other people had alcoholic drinks in front of them, but nobody said a word, nobody questioned why I didn't, which surprised me. So it's just never been an issue here, and I think that's helped me to kind of open up more to people that I've met here. And obviously I think the smaller class sizes have helped too, so I've been able to get to know people much better, because on my undergrad course there were like 60 people, so I even in 3 years I didn't get to know everybody, so that's definitely helped.
What were kind of the emotions or symptoms that you experienced from not being able to connect with people?
I just felt very frustrated for a long time. I found that I was really preoccupied with people's perceptions of me. And that happened a lot before university, while I was at school. I was really, really shy in school. And I remember overhearing a group of girls talking about some of the shyer people in the class. And they just had basically decided that this meant they were dull and boring. So for a long time, I questioned whether that was me, you know. And then I started to kind of wonder, you know, why would anyone want to be friends with me? You know, if that's maybe I'm not that interesting or fun a person to be around. So, yeah, it really affected my self-esteem a lot. And I found that the more I worried about that, the more physical symptoms I got too. I remember being sick quite a lot at school. I had a lot of stomach issues, a lot of headaches and things like that. And yeah, a lot of tension too, a lot of muscle tension. That was a big problem for a long time.
Oh, wow. I know it's something that I experienced and people that I know have experienced, and I think it's a natural human thing to want to be accepted. Mm. We're not here to not connect with people.
Yeah.
So that is a basic kind of human instinct and human need. And I do think it can be quite difficult. There's a lot of pressure to fit in. Everyone deals with it differently,
yeah,
obviously. When did you realize that maybe that wasn't good for you? I mean, obviously you said you were having some health problems from this stress. So when was that point where you kind of decided, okay, I should probably do something about this. I need to find a way to work with this, to figure out what's going on, and start coping. And then what were the methods that you started taking to cope with that?
Well, it was a very long time before I got any proper help. When I was about 16, I remember just suddenly I just had a really bad bout of depression. And that lasted weeks. And, you know, I wasn't eating properly. I was spending all my time in bed. And I took a couple of weeks off school. My parents were obviously pretty upset about that, but at the same time, I don't think they really realised the full extent of what was happening. So when I went back to school, I went to see the school counsellor. But I didn't find that very helpful. I always got the impression that she didn't quite understand what was going on with me. And after about 3 sessions, she just kind of assumed that everything was pretty much perfect again. So that was frustrating. So I just kind of tried to get on with things. And the first summer after my first year of university, when I had another really bad bout, and again, I got kind of similar reactions from my parents. They didn't really know how to help me or what was going on. But something just clicked in my head at that point, and I just decided I'm going to have to see somebody about this. So I made an appointment with my GP. Again, I don't think she was completely equipped to deal with this kind of thing, but she referred me to a therapist, and she also diagnosed me with depression. So just that alone was a real turning point for me, just to hear somebody say it, because up to then I'd kind of been doubting whether there was anything really wrong with me, and that made me feel worse, like I was just, maybe I was exaggerating or my problems weren't really worthy of being listened to. But yeah, I went for 10 sessions of therapy, and that, I think, was what really started to change my whole outlook.
It seems that, yeah, you kind of had to try different things out, as I think everyone does. But you kind of got there eventually.
Yeah.
And it's nice to know that now you don't feel that way.
Mm.
And I think the other thing that you brought up that I wanted to touch on was that, at least during your undergrad, student fees and things like that were a stressor. As discussed in a previous thing of this, I'm no expert, but I did minor in health and wellness as part of my undergrad. So I took a lot of those courses and did research in that because it was something that I was interested in. Honestly, I never thought I would use it in my career per se, but I felt like there was too much information out there and not enough to know what was fact, what was going to be sometimes true, sometimes not, and then what was just completely false. So I studied that to kind of learn more about it, figure out what did the textbooks say, what's been proven, what's actually the truth. And within that, one of the basic principles that you learn right from the beginning, but again, I had to wait till I was, you know, in college to learn it, was that well-being is made up of 7 different facets. And one of those is financial wellness, and another one is social or relationship wellness. So I think those are 2 things that you've faced, and you've realized that when either they're lacking or they're heightened, that can kind of affect everything else. But so we've talked about the social side of that, the relationship side, some of the effects that it had on you, and just how that stress internalized. But the other side of that is finances. Was budgeting or any of the other kind of expenses that come with university an added stress?
Yeah, I think a lot of it I carried from home because I was basically relying on my parents' help, and that was something that obviously I was really grateful for, but it also caused me a lot of stress because I think part of me felt kind of guilty about that. And if things were a bit difficult at home with money, and I would hear kind of discussions or even arguments about it, I would really take on that burden. And yeah, I would be thinking about my own kind of education and whether that was having an impact. and whether it was creating kind of more problems. I mean, I was always assured that it wasn't something I should be worrying about, but I always did anyway, and still do sometimes. There was quite a lot of tension when I was deciding to come here about how I was going to pay for this, because I really wanted it. But I think for a while my parents were like, well, it's not really the ideal situation right now, because my sister was also due to start university. So that was, I worried a lot about that for a while. But in the end, I kind of, they understood that it was something that was going to be important to me in terms of my career. So, yeah, so I managed to get a loan, and thankfully I got a scholarship as well. But yeah, I do sometimes still stress about, particularly about my mother and how, well, how much she stresses really. So I worry about her because she's the kind of person who she'll internalise everything. She'll never say how she's feeling or if she's worried, because she doesn't want to worry us. But I worry about that too. So it's like a cycle almost.
Yeah. At first, you know, it was kind of unknown how you would proceed, and potentially not having that family support just in general was probably a stress. Also financially stressful. But then you said, you know, probably after discussion, they kind of realized the implications for you.
Yeah.
And so that shifted. Do you feel having that support system there and them being understanding has helped you kind of cope with those stresses?
Yeah, it's definitely made a big difference, because I never felt completely comfortable about doing things if they weren't behind it. So just to know that I have their support now makes a huge difference. And if things do get difficult at any stage, it really helps to remember that, to know that they're behind me and that they've come around to the extent that they really want this for me now. And if I'm telling them about things that we might be doing, or, and if I can see like how excited they are about that, that makes me feel a lot better. So yeah, that I've really done the right thing by coming here.
Yeah. Oh, that's good to hear. I mean, I'm happy to have you here. But, and it's also good to know that, you know, you have a support system behind you. Intellectual wellness is another part, and I think the stress of doing well is something that every student faces. Whether you are someone who does really well in school or not, that pressure is still there. And is that something that you've found through your journey as a student?
Yeah, I used to put a lot of pressure on myself to do well. My parents never put any pressure on me, but they used to say things like, you know, how proud they were of like my grades and stuff. And I think sometimes I used to take that as a kind of a sign that, oh, I need to do better, because I don't want to disappoint them if I don't get that in my next kind of exam or whatever. So yeah, I put a lot of that pressure on myself. And I think when I was at school particularly, my teachers, I felt the pressure from them as well. They would never say it to me, but I felt like I had to maintain a really high standard to please them. And I think it was only after I finished school and I went to university, and I didn't feel any pressure from lecturers there. It was a completely different environment. But it was only then that I realised that I was really putting all this pressure on myself to keep other people happy, not for myself. Because even if I didn't if I didn't do so great in a test, it wouldn't bother me. I would think, well, I can do better next time, but I would always worry about how other people would take it, whether my parents would be disappointed or my teachers. So that's something I've had to kind of...
Okay, so from the very beginning of the conversation, you talked about the stresses of finding a job after this career.
Yeah.
Stresses. And what do you feel makes that a stressor for you?
Yeah, I think when I first decided that radio was what I wanted to go into, I thought it would be easier than it actually was to get into the industry back home. But it was the summer before I finished. I think I applied to like every radio station in the region, and either I didn't hear back from most of them, or they would say, we're full, we have too many people, we can't accommodate anyone else. So that partly made me think about doing a master's, but also it just made me realise how tough it is. And since coming here, I've obviously learned so much, and I feel like I'm in the best place that I could be to get the training that I need. And obviously I feel that there are lots of opportunities in the UK that I just didn't have at home. But it is still, I do still find it stressful thinking about how to market myself to employers, really, and just how good my work will be. Because obviously there are more opportunities, but there's also, I think, more competition, because it's a much bigger place and a bigger industry. So I do worry about that, about just kind of whether I'm the best that I can be, and whether other people will see that, I suppose.
So you're still dealing with some of the stresses that occur from real life being a student. What are ways currently right now that you deal with just any issues of real life being a student?
Yeah, I think I'm slowly learning to have a bit more perspective on things. If I'm really stressed about something, I think one of the things that helps me now is to kind of think back to previous situations where I was equally as stressed or even more stressed, and think, well, how did I deal with that? But more importantly, the fact that I dealt with it. So I kind of draw on that a lot. It's amazing, because I never used to be one of those people who could, like my parents used to say to me, you can get through everything, you'll get through this, you might not see it, but in a few years, you know, things will be different. But I just would completely shut that down. But obviously they turned out to be right. So I've become the person who says that to myself now, which I find kind of funny sometimes, sounding like my mother. But I think just to think back on previous situations and think, well, I've come this far, so there's no reason why I can't do it again. I think that's my way of looking at things now.
How important would you say that it is to be able to feel open to talk about these things as a student, even, you know, back in your school days, back when you were younger, up till now? How important is that?
I think it's really important, because I mean, it's important at any age, but especially when you're younger. Things can really, if you're not open about things, they can really have a very negative impact. So I think if you're open and honest about things, I think it kind of helps you to grow as a person, because obviously you're still emotionally developing a lot between those ages. So I think you're more in touch with yourself and your own emotions, and it probably helps your confidence as well, just to know that someone's listening to you and you can be honest with them. I think that's a really healthy thing.
How do you find that when one thing is particularly stressful in your life, or something that is taking up a lot of your time, making you worry, whether it be a relationship, a certain project, you know, finances, family, things, whatever it is, how do you find that affects you as a student?
It's funny that it never seems to affect the academic side of all the aspects of being a student. I think that's thankfully the one thing that I always feel I have a certain amount of control over it. I'm good at just getting on with things, and because obviously keeping busy is one way of dealing with being stressed, I think. Socially, it can have quite a big effect. Even if nobody else seems to notice it, I sometimes feel I'm not the best company if I'm really stressed. So I think, yeah, that would be the main thing that it affects.
What advice would you give to any student dealing with probably multiple stressors, but particularly if they're going through a difficult time, whether it be tough financially at that point, tough socially, or just the pressure of doing well on a certain project or writing assignment or whatever?
It can sound really obvious, but I think it's amazing how people don't always see it as an option just to find somebody to talk to. I think the worst thing that you can do is keep it all to yourself, because I did that for a long time and it didn't get me anywhere. In fact, it just made things a lot worse. So I think finding somebody, because there's lots of options, even, you know, just here at this university we have student well-being, and so there's always somebody that you can talk to, and they won't judge you, because a lot of people are going through the same thing. And even if there's just a friend that you can open up to, because you just never know if they'll be dealing with similar things and maybe they were too afraid to say it. So yeah, I think just being open is the first step, because it'll make you feel better for having said it. And then there'll be someone who can go through your options with you and hopefully take some of the stress away.
Yeah. And what advice do you kind of have for yourself, but also for anyone else going through that, you know, being entry level?
I think it's, for me, it's a big issue of confidence. I think I personally need to learn to have more faith in my own abilities, to start believing that, you know, I'm good enough to be employed, really. Because I know it's kind of a cliche when people say, like, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. I don't know how true that is, but yeah, I suppose it can't hurt to think like that. So yeah, it sounds simple, but I think it's the most important thing. People just, wherever they find it from, they have to have some kind of self-belief to get anywhere. And obviously determination. I mean, I think not giving up is the most important thing in this industry, because there will be knockbacks along the way, no matter how good you are, because it happens to everybody. But if you give up, then, you know, you won't get that career that you want. If you keep trying, then I think statistically, I mean, it's bound to happen at some point. So yeah, I suppose that's the main thing I'd keep in mind.
I think that's a great reminder, not only for yourself, but also for anyone else. I think, like you said, a lot of times rejection is the answer. Mm. Every job isn't going to be the right job for you.
Yeah.
And you're right, you can't give up. That's where it is. So I think that's a really nice sentiment. Thanks again to Sarah for joining us in the Sharing Space Initiative. Hopefully, there was something she shared that you found interesting or memorable. To help move the conversation into the outside world, share that information with someone else. If this seems uncomfortable, ask someone to listen to these stories with you. You can find this and all previous stories at www.burst.co.uk/sharing-space. It's easy to send the link on social media or via email and start the conversation in a less formal way. Thank you for taking part. Sharing Space is produced and presented by me, Allison Blaze. The music was composed by Michael L. Worrell. This has been a burst.co.uk production. The conversation was pre-recorded.